Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. Jordan and I are both laughing because I just told Jordan that a listener told me they thought the intro was pre-recorded and that I always end my name with a question mark, being like, I'm Taylor, I think. So I tried really hard to end that with an exclamation point, but I don't know if I succeeded.
I think it was like a confident period.
Okay.
It was very like, I felt like it was like, you know, Sarah Koenig vibes.
And I'm Taylor, period.
That sounded good. I think that sounded good.
Maybe we should pre-record that so that I can never worry about it ever again.
Well, I mean, you know the sweat drops I get every time I have to say my little spiel about the relationships podcast. Will I do it right this week or will I fail?
I feel like you've only ever had to redo that probably like one time in the last few years. So,
yeah, I professionals. Think I blocked that out because otherwise I'll get the yips like all the Olympic athletes.
We're the same. Us and Simone Biles, same.
We all, hey, you know, Simone Biles is going to come up later or soon in this episode.
Interesting. I literally have indirectly. No idea.
Can't wait to tell you it.
Did she film her wedding and it's going to be televised?
No, that's not the news. That's not okay. My news item.
Okay, great. It's
even better.
I'll be patient. Well, now we can tell you that this week I made Jordan watch The Mandalorian season 3 because we didn't really know if anything else to watch. So We'll get into that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I will say I was going to watch it eventually, but I was really, really putting it off. So you gave me the kick in the pants to do it.
Sometimes we just have to watch a show for the podcast so it gives us the drive that we need to watch a thing. And then of course we will talk the latest Succession episode 5. We've got TV news, and I'll start us off by saying rumor has it, and by rumor I mean news has been confirmed that there's a Twilight TV series in the works. And I'll be honest, I'm intrigued. I think I'm a little bit interested in it. Like, I
that's what they're hoping people will say.
I'm way more interested in this than the Harry Potter. Like, Twilight's had like a resurgence. I think it's a fun opportunity to like either really lean into the cheesiness of Twilight or try to really steer clear of Twilight and make it like a serious thing. And I think either one of those sounds interesting and fun as a viewer.
Yeah, I was never like a, what did you call yourselves? Twihards? Which is actually, I've seen that written down. I've never actually heard it out loud.
Yeah,
but
that's funny.
I was never a Twilight head myself. So I'm like, I don't have personally like nostalgia for it. So I'm kind of like deferring to the Twilight fans. Like, is this something you guys want? I'm kind of like, sure, I'm intrigued too. I'll watch. Like, what are they going to do with it? Are they just going to like, because I feel like if you just try and recreate what exists already, then why bother? Like, you should put a new spin on it, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it would be interesting if there is a version that is less cheesy. Like, I don't know. But, and who are you going to cast? Like,
that's what I'm also excited for. Even just to see, like, who gets cast is really interesting to me.
Totally. And I'm curious, like, what channel will this be on? Or streamer?
Mm-hmm. And Stephanie Meyer is supposed to be involved. And I'm also curious, they really have big shoes to fill when it comes to the soundtrack. Because Twilight is known for how good its soundtracks were. Mm-hmm. And the show would need to live up to that, I think. So.
Wow. That is so, it's a great point. Those soundtracks stand the test of time. It's true.
Yeah, it really does. So this Twihard is intrigued.
It's a really good stand name, I think, because it is like Twilight, Die Hard. Let's
brilliant. And also like taking the term a try hard, but like repurposing it and like rebranding it.
But like mispronouncing the R sound.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just, it's layered. It's, I think it's brilliant. I'm not going to reveal the Simone Biles adjacent news yet because I'm going to announce that they announced the queens that are going to be competing on Drag Race All-Stars 8 starting May 12th on Paramount Plus. And it's a very fun and interesting group because there's some that people are like, who? Which is all actually fun because All-Stars 6 was a lot of people where people were like, really? Can we call these people All-Stars? And it's actually one of the best All-Stars season because I feel like the stakes are actually higher because they're like, I've got to really prove something here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good mix of queens from like old seasons, like even back as far as season 2 and as well as season 13 and even someone from Canada's Drag Race, Jimbo. So wow. I'm very excited.
I've been anxious to talk to you about it, but I wanted to save it for the pod because I wanted to hear your take on it since I know that you've watched most, if not all of them. So I wanted to know if the Drag Race heads are pleased with the casting or not.
From what I can tell, because I mean, even though, yeah, I've watched every American season. I've watched almost all of the UK. I think I've watched maybe all the UK. I've watched UK, Australia, and Canada seasons. So I have watched like a billion seasons. But I'm still so recent that I still kind of like poke around online to see like, what is the long-term fandom? Like, what are their kind of general feelings about this? Because I don't know. I don't know the context. And from what I can see is that everyone's really excited. I think that everyone's excited to see like some of those older queens, which is fun because there you have queens that are like in their early 20s. And now we're going to have queens in their mid 40s competing, which is really fun. Because like Sasha Colby was the oldest one this season and she's like 37. So it's like not really that old. But like closer to 50, which will be fun. And like some of them, like the queen, James Mansfield, was the first queen out her season. But she actually has quite a big following online doing like vlogs and YouTube channel and is like actually really good. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's redemption, you know? So a lot of them have like built kind of like outside of their season kind of a fandom. So like those people are really excited. So it seems like people are happy.
Yeah, like social media has changed so much since those early seasons anyway. So cool.
Yeah, like in some ways I'm like I can see how, and you can kind of tell from the queen's reactions on these current seasons, like having to defend themselves against haters and trolls and stuff, which like the earlier seasons, like you could kind of be on your bad behavior and like the internet didn't care because it wasn't such a huge show yet, you know? So It's very different.
Well, good. Can't wait till May 12th. Natasha Rothwell is going to be returning for White Lotus season 3. And I am so happy.
I mean, I hope this doesn't mean that her character dies.
I hope so too.
I just thought of that.
Kind of intrigued to see. I would like to see her reaction to learning that Jennifer Coolidge's character died, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great point. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, it's time for the big reveal. So it doesn't actually have to do with Simone Biles, but the reality show we all love, Claim to Fame, in which Simone Biles' sister had to pretend that Simone Biles wasn't her sister, is coming back for season 2 with Kevin and Frankie Jonas on June 26th.
Yay! Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
I literally only know because our favorite Instagrammer, Heather McMahon, met what's his name from season one and was posting about him. And I was
Do we know
him.
How they met?
No, I have no idea.
It's so weird. They're like besties.
It's really weird. And she has never mentioned that show. So I feel like they know each other like independently
outside
of
it.
So.
I'm like, Heather, do you know that he was on TV?
Do you know he's on the best show ever? But anyway, I like fell down a rabbit hole because I was like looking at his Instagram. And then I was like, he took a picture. He was in Vegas and hung out with the Joe Bros or attended their concert, I think is actually more likely of what happened.
Okay.
And so then I was looking at them and Kevin had posted that the new season is going to drop in June.
I love following this rabbit hole, and the way that you got to Kevin Jonas's Instagram was not from their current like press tour of their new album, but it was from
they
Heather
haven't said
McMahon's
one peep about it.
Friendship.
I only follow Joe. And like, rude. Hello. You're going to disrespect your oldest brother like that and your youngest brother?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I had to really work to find this news out, but I'm so happy that I did and that we get to watch season two.
Wow, that's amazing news and I cannot wait. Another book to screen adaptation. I don't know if it's a movie or a TV show because I didn't watch the trailer and the caption doesn't say, but a very popular book, Lessons in Chemistry, is going to be adapted for Apple TV Plus, and it's starring Brie Larson. And I'll be honest, I did not like that book. But
oh, really? I haven't read it.
I'm interested to see what it's like in movie/TV form.
Sometimes it's like actually easier to go in to watching the adaptation of a book you didn't like. You know?
Yeah.
Because then you're not married to your expectations at all. You're like, I hope they change this.
Yeah, I really quick skinny, here's why I didn't like the book. I didn't hate it. I just felt like it was like feminism 101. And so like I think it's a good book for like a lot of people who like don't think about that and like think about inequality in the workplace very often, but unfortunately that's top of mind for me every day, so like I didn't really learn
it's
anything
not
new.
It's not exactly
was, like,
reinventing the wheel.
No.
That's really good to know, and I hope that they don't carry that too strongly into the screen version.
Yeah, like I think they could modernize it quite a bit.
Yeah,
but it is fun because it's like based in like the 50s or something. And so, like, the costuming and cinematography and stuff is really fun.
I didn't really know what it was. And so, I saw, like, the beginnings of an ad, like, of the video, the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked cute, but I kept scrolling. So, I'm glad that you have more context for me because I didn't really know what it was.
Well, here you go.
It did look
good. I still
good.
Don't really know what it is.
You know, I feel like, you know who else I saw talking about this who does love the book was Mark Snedeker.
Oh,
on
interesting.
His Instagram. And I think that I feel like he said it was a series.
Okay.
But TBD. It's all hearsay at this point. Another trailer. Did you watch the trailer? Apparently it was just really like a teaser trailer, but for the new season of Selling Sunset.
I did not. Did you? I was waiting for it to show up on my feed and it didn't. So I only have like a bookmarked of a still.
I did watch it and I thought it was kind of cringy personally, because they have them all saying like these sound bites, and I wasn't really that intrigued by any of the sound bites at all. I already am kind of feeling the loss of Christine, even though I had Christine fatigue. Like, I don't know, can we continue Selling Sunset without her? We'll see.
We will see. I saw a thing that was like, it's been announced, like, now we know some of the other, I almost said housewives, some of the other real estate agents who are not returning. Did you see who that was? Because I saw it was Mary, Christine, and there was like another like surprise one.
Oh, yeah. I know this because they were talking about this on Who Weekly, and it's Davina. Davina's not in the trailer, but Davina, they were like, oh, but actually Davina posted on her Instagram that she's still going to be in a couple episodes.
That's the Davina way. She's not invited to be. first on the call list, but they'll bring her back as a feature.
She's not even in the trailer walking around in the different houses like the others.
And honestly, thank
you. But yeah, they're all just like,
freaks me out.
I feel like we might feel her absence though. We need like kind of a weirdo, and I don't know. Who's going to step up and be the weird one, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm always asking.
Same.
This piece of news is kind of weird, and I'm still processing and trying to understand what it's even saying. But apparently, Brian Cox is going to be on an Amazon unscripted competition series called 007. And apparently he's going to play a game show MC. He's going to control the fate of the contestants and going to be villainous and cultured as contestants face increasingly difficult journeys and challenges. What?
That is just like, that sounds way too complicated.
Well, and I'm,
even if it weren't him, if I heard this explanation, I would be like, what? Like, what idea is this? What are you talking about?
It just doesn't sound anything like Brian Cox would sign up for.
No, I don't really want to see him on like a reality show.
No. It's going to ruin the Succession legacy.
The facade.
He's ruining the Logan Roy legacy.
Okay, Roman. Chill.
The dad map. This was not on the dad map.
That confuses me, and I don't even know what to say about it. I'll keep my eyes peeled for like an understanding about what this is.
He just goes for the money, which he also admitted on the HBO podcast. So
yeah, much like Logan, you know, it's really what matters.
We'll see.
My last piece of news is they dropped the trailer for season 3 of The Other Two, and it's starting on May 4th on HBO Max. And the trailer was hilarious, and it just reminded me, like, this is such a Taylor show. It's such a Taylor show.
Okay, I'm adding the cast is so you right now.
Yeah, you need to, because I was like, this has gone on long enough. This is something. It's not a show that's at the top of my mind all the time. Otherwise, I'd probably be bugging you about it way more often. But just like remembering like the references that they make, like you will get every single reference, because it's like there's a lot, like their younger brother is kind of like doing a lot of Bieber related things, and like they go on Watch What Happens Live, or yeah, it's like there's just so many like cultural and industry Hollywood things that you will just like love it. It's just so good and so funny.
Okay, great. I bookmarked that piece of news too because I knew that you had watched it, and yeah, it just reminded me that I need to watch.
I feel like it also, the main guy in it, I cannot remember the actor's name right now, it's got to drive me insane, but he like has very like Matt Rogers energy.
Ooh,
like,
love that.
It's very, I feel like it's extremely like Lost Culturistas vibes.
Literally kind of my whole brand. Show. So
like the Venn diagram is like almost a circle, I'm sure, of people that enjoy both.
Perfect.
So yeah, it's very important.
I will get right on that as soon as I finish my Love is Blind watch.
How far are you?
I think I'm on episode 7. So I think I'm close. I'm getting close. Okay, good.
Yeah, you're chugging through it. I stopped. I have the wedding episode left. And now that I've stopped, because I was like, I have to keep binging. I'm addicted. And now that I've given myself a break because I had to watch Mandalorian, I'm like, oh, I forgot what it's like to be free. Like, I don't even know. I'm all tempted to just look up who says yes and who says no, because I feel like a lot of them have been spoiled already anyways.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, it's actually, I've decided that watching a show like Love is Blind is really hard for me when I'm by myself. It actually like makes me feel like sad. And I think like
dark.
It's way more fun to be like laughing with people, or like, at least like be watching it at the same time as someone and like texting someone. Like I was watching it the other night and I was blowing up Jordan's phone and I forgot that she was at a concert and I was like, she's not even responding to me. And I like just kept sending them. And then I was like, oh yeah, she's at a concert. I need to stop texting her.
It was a gift to come home to though, because I was like, yes, yes. Like, oh, she finally got to these parts and all this stuff. Oh my gosh. So I'm sorry that I couldn't respond immediately.
Oh, please do not be sorry. It's my problem.
But I do understand that.
Watching on my iPad at 1.5 speed has been the lifesaver, I will say.
Oh, big time. It probably makes them all feel like they actually have like a better connection because there's fewer like awkward pauses.
I think so too. It might be giving me a warped view of their, I don't know though, because I'm kind of like, are any of these people actually like each other? I don't know.
It's so tough.
Like previously mentioned, we're discussing the season 3 of The Mandalorian. And spoiler alert, we'll get into the details, but for me personally, I would say I'm probably not going to be watching this moving forward unless things seriously change and I hear chatter online that it is gotten better. Do you think you've given up The Mandalorian?
Yeah, I think so. I agree. When we can discuss further.
Okay. As we dive. So for our top three, I wanted to rank shows we've given up on, like made a decision. I'm no longer proceeding with this show. All the best. We'll probably check in online of things that are happening, if that. What is a show you gave up on?
One show that I gave up on was Orange is the New Black. I didn't finish that. Yeah, I stopped. I can't remember which season I stopped in, but it was starting to get like annoying, which is interesting because I feel like this was tough. It was like kind of a sad realization that I didn't want to keep watching it because up until that point, I feel like it was awesome. Like, and so it's hard because it's like, I recommend people watch it. Like, I think you would really like it, but I didn't finish it. So like, am I telling you to watch like the first 4 seasons or something? I guess. But I'm probably never going to go back and keep watching it. And I've heard that the last season wasn't even really that good. So like, I don't have a lot of motivation to keep watching it.
Yeah, that's really, really unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's similar to one of mine. So I famously never finished Jane the Virgin. I feel like I talk about that show kind of frequently, but I never watched the last season, which is just like
I feel like I forgot about that. I forgot that you never finished it.
Oh, I guess unfamously. Because
well, I mean, I've never started it, so it's not like a show that you and I discuss really. Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
You know.
It wasn't, I think I just was like over it clearly. I really didn't think it like got bad or anything, and I heard that the end, like the final season, was fine. I think I just had like graduated from that time of my life.
Hey, it happens. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of shows that were fun for a while and then you just got tired of it or outgrew it or something. It just happens.
Yeah.
My number 2, which is like a really amazing show, but I don't know if I'll ever finish it because I heard that the finale was terrible and I didn't watch the last season, was Killing Eve.
I can't believe I didn't think about that one, because same.
Like, I don't really have any interest in watching it. People said it was not a good final season. I think season 1 is perfect. Season 2 got a little less good. And season 3, I think we technically watched, and I don't really remember anything about it. And I heard it just kept getting worse. So I probably will never finish it. I'll just remember the good times, you know?
I'll just remember the shrine I saw to one of the characters that I think dies, maybe, or something. When I was in Boston.
Like on a bridge. Or something.
It was really funny.
That's all I need. That's really all that I need. Besides, I need like Jodie Comer to like, I know she's getting rave reviews on Broadway right now, but
yeah,
hard for me to experience Broadway when I don't live there. So
yes,
come back to television sometime,
please. We need some.
That's all. That's all I really
want
in
our lives.
Yeah.
My second one is Riverdale. Another one I think I just graduated from. And it got too weird. Yeah. And it was like too hard to follow. And I still love following the cast members and seeing what they are up to. Mm-hmm. But
you gave it a lot of, like, you were really trying.
I did. I think it was, I watched when times two seasons. Were tough.
Oh, I thought you tried more than that.
No.
I think it for was some only reason two. I thought you were sticking with it longer, but
I don't even know how many there are.
I don't either, actually.
But maybe I'll get like really ill and we'll finish it.
Yeah. I mean, there are some times when you're like, even if you stop being a consistent fan, it just like really hits the spot to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
And watch. So you never know. Or sometimes you start a rewatch during the parts of the show that you like loved, and then you get mm-hmm. to the point where you're like, oh yeah, this is where I stopped, I remember. But still. My number one is a show that I refuse to keep watching because I hate it. And I've never said those words, but I really think I hate it. I hate Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I hate this show. I will never watch it again. And I actually read a review of, because the final season, I guess, is on right now. Yeah. And I did read a review that was like, this sucks. And I felt validated. And I said, good, because I don't enjoy the show. I really don't.
I'm going to go back and listen to our last podcast we did on this show. Because I, mm-hmm. for some reason, in my head, I'm remembering that we were both hesitant to watch it, but then we watched it. We were like, okay, it was fine. Like, we enjoyed it.
I remember us really critiquing the second season a lot.
Okay, and okay.
I don't think I wanted to. I think I was trying to be nice because I know that a lot of people love this show.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, I don't think I was trying to spare your feelings because I don't think you are personally that invested in this show.
No, I stopped when you stopped.
But I remember being like, well, it's really popular. Like, what if I'm wrong, you know, and trying to be like, well, here are things I didn't like, but I liked Zachary Levi, which wah-wah. Like,
didn't age well.
But like, I don't know. I think I was trying to kind of like skew more positive to like kind of fit in, like almost like with how much everyone else likes it.
So you should definitely trust us on this podcast.
Well, I think we've grown a lot, and I think I trust too. Myself better. And but here is one thing that will probably make you want to watch it is that I did read that Reed Scott is on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually just going to ask you if him being in it intrigues you at all to finish it.
No, because the review I read said that everyone is wasted talent in it, and the storylines go nowhere, and it's stupid. So I said, great. I'm happy to hear that. Now I won't watch it. So if you watch it, because
I feel like the last season got kind of was like well received. So I was like, oh, like maybe I should get back into it, but no, maybe I'll take one for the team and finish it. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, and also it's kind of like, it is a lesson in trusting your own opinion too, because like there's plenty of shows that maybe get bad reviews, but I like, you know, but yeah. It's like, I don't have to like, we don't like have to agree with all good reviews either. You know, like I can trust my own opinion and be like, I'm not enjoying this show, even if a lot of other people like it, you know? So
yeah.
I'm like embracing myself and saying, why am I lying to myself? I don't like this.
I'm glad. I appreciate your honesty. And that was really brave of you.
Thank you.
Even though I really don't even know anyone else who's watching it either. Oh. You're just brave enough to say it.
Kind of fell off. Yeah.
Yeah. My number one is honestly a pretty boring one, but I just like, it's the number one show I feel like I was the most dedicated to that I am now the most dedicated to getting it taken off the air, which is Grey's Anatomy. I think a show should be arrested for being on air for that long. And
I mean, Meredith, isn't she not even on it anymore?
I don't think so. I think she said her goodbyes. My gosh. And I just, show me five people who are still watching this show. Show me five. Who's watching this show? How are they getting that
money? I don't know a soul.
Let's spend that money somewhere else.
Yeah, getting Jodie Comer 10 more shows. What if they put Jodie Comer on Grey's Anatomy?
No, I feel like they have added so many people. It would be a death sentence. Oh, I do love that person, but no.
There's nothing they can do. There's nothing.
So there you have it.
Wow, I'm glad we got that off our chests.
Yeah, it felt good. That was therapeutic.
It really was.
Mandalorian, I feel like I've already really explained how I felt, but what were your feelings? Thoughts?
Okay. I think for me, it was hard to get into it, especially after how much I loved Andor. Because, like, if I'm going to compare the two shows, Andor was, like, very high stakes. It was dealing with familiar Star Wars plots. It was, like, leading to something that I knew about Star Wars, which makes it much more exciting for me personally. I felt like this season of Mandalorian, I almost felt like, is this getting into, like, you have to know Star Wars deep cuts to really appreciate what's happening? Because I don't know those types of deep cuts. I don't know that lore. And so I'm no longer interested. And it doesn't mean that there weren't things I liked in the season. I actually did kind of like Bo-Katan being around more, and, like, she was really cool. And I kind of like kind of that middle ground, like kind of this whole like religion kind of thing where it's like you have the hardcore Mandalorians who never take their helmets off. And then you have, I guess, the secular ones, like, for lack of a better word. I don't know. Like, I feel like that's like interesting stuff. And I also thought it was kind of interesting how they're like, oh, we're rehabilitating former Imperial workers into society again. I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting, but, like, why is this in this? And, like, I don't really care about Moff Gideon, the villain. Like, I don't know anything about him at all. So it just felt very low stakes. It felt way over my head. I could barely follow what was going on. And I just couldn't get into it. And I feel like it feels like it's going to keep going that direction. And so they've lost me, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I feel like I have to, like, go back on my word, because I'm pretty sure there are receipts of me saying I prefer The Mandalorian over Andor.
Oh, 100%. Because you, I will never forget, you saying you miss all the creatures that are in Mandalorian. And I said, huh?
Okay. I still stand by that. I would have liked more creatures in Andor.
Okay.
But I will now say that The Mandalorian, like, looked cheesy. It, like, looked like they cut their budget in half or something. Like, it
100%.
It used to look so good and, like, super legit. And this, it looked like everything was almost, like, weirdly animated. And I don't think it was this, but, like, I had heard that, like, it could be kind of hard to follow if you didn't watch all of the Clone Wars show. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel like ooh, are they, like, leaning into the Clone Wars animation type vibe? I don't, like, it was just, like, kind of weird.
I will second that, and also say that I felt like the acting wasn't as good this season.
I agree.
I thought the acting was cheesy too. Mm-hmm. It felt kind of like a different show, because I feel like the first two seasons are very serious.
They're serious and, like, more, and, like, adult and, like,
yeah, and more dramatic. It's almost like, because Andor was so adult, it's like, did they feel like they had to make Mandalorian more, like, fun or something? Because it didn't work for me. It just didn't.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I just felt like there was, like, no emotional pull for me at all. Like, there was
no
skin in the game. I didn't care about anyone. I'm sorry, but if you're going to have Pedro Pascal, we got to see his face. And, like, that's just not going to work for me.
Well, here's something that I actually have in my notes that is maybe nitpicky, maybe not, but it really bothers me. And I think it's lame that it's not even him in the suit. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's not even him in season one.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, maybe it technically doesn't matter, but I just feel like that sucks.
I think learned that together because we were talking about his height. And
the Mandalorian's
kind of tall. Yeah. And honestly, learning that, I think, took me out of it, too. Which is funny that we never really thought about it. But I think it was just like, it's like Santa Claus. We just like wanted to believe it was real.
Yeah. So it's just wild because then in season two, like, that's like the first time he actually wears that suit because he has to because he takes his helmet off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the promise of him ever, even like we don't even get to see him take it off when he eats. Like, I did like that part when Bo-Katan is like, how do you eat if you can't take your helmet off? And they're like, oh, you go to your own little part of the woods or whatever.
Yeah, that
and
was
we don't even get to see him eat. At least then we could see his face. So we
can't afford him anymore.
I don't know. It's just weird. So yeah, I feel like I'm sad because I feel like my favorite Mandalorian season was 2. And maybe it's just because it ended with a bang with like Luke Skywalker. And I felt like the stakes were higher because you do have the Mandalorian like compromising everything and taking his helmet off. Like I felt like that was really intriguing plot stuff of him like dealing with like kind of betraying his race to him, like in his mind, by having to take off his helmet to like survive, you know? Like that was that was an exciting moment, and I didn't feel any excitement like that in this whole season.
Yeah, I agree. And it just felt like Baby Yoda has been played out and we need some growth there.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, Baby Yoda is like so cute, but it started to feel like this is a show for little kids.
Yeah, want want.
Yeah, I'm sad. I didn't want to feel this way, you know, but I did.
No, I didn't either. And it sounds like a lot of people did, so we're not alone.
Yeah. I was just listening to a podcast today that was saying the same thing. And even talking to like my sister and brother-in-law have been watching it and they said like the same thing. So yeah, we're definitely not alone.
Which is nice, but sad.
Yeah, it's nice to not be alone.
On to Succession Waystar water cooler moment, episode 5. Spoilers, FYI. We're 2 days post Logan's death and the team goes to Norway. I want to go there. It looked so beautiful. Oh, I'm obsessed.
It looked so cool. When they're riding up in that gondola up the mountain. Oh, so pretty.
And then hearing Kieran Culkin.
Wow, that's so funny. That.
after the episode saying how he like did that whole scene on the mountainside and then got back down on the gondola and was like, wait a minute, I heard that it was really pretty up there, I should go look at it, and then like went back up, was so wild to me because I'm like, that was like the most stunning thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
So wild. Oh my gosh, he was lost in the role.
He really was.
And it really paid off because I feel like that scene probably won him the Emmy. I mean, we'll see what the next 5 episodes do, but that's what everyone's saying. It's his year.
He really has, he's been shining. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
I will say, I think I felt the most confused in this episode. I feel confused anytime Mattson is involved because I don't understand his, like, I mean, that's his,
it gets so
that's
technical.
Intentional. Like his character is supposed to be deceiving and confusing. But especially when it's like about business stuff where I'm already like having to focus really hard and to understand what's going on. I really struggle. So I feel like I don't even feel like well equipped to even discuss this episode because I feel like I need to rewatch it already.
I'm glad you said that because I felt the same way. Even at the end, even when I was like looking on Twitter and everyone was like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, huh? I'm not confident in that's what happened. And so I was like, I read a recap on NPR. And I felt in a way kind of validated because I was like, there's still a lot we don't know. So I was like, okay, I think that like it's normal to still kind of feel in the dark about like what's actually going down, you know?
Yes, and I think that people just take their interpretations as fact and can seem that way online.
100%.
Where it's like, no, like they looked like they were happy in the end, or it's like, oh no, they looked like what did I just do? Like,
yeah.
No one knows. No one knows.
They're like, and they were acting when they were looking sad. It's like, you don't know that. if they didn't outrightly say, we don't know. Because something that was confusing me was everyone being like, Shiv did that. Shiv intentionally saved all these people from the kill list, and she spelled it exactly out for Mattson. And I was like, when did she do that? I didn't literally see her tell Matt. But it's like, okay, she was hyping up Jerry and Carolina, obviously. So it's like, she did indirectly save them. But the way that everyone was like talking about commenting on Shiv's actions, it felt like I had missed some scenes or something. But it's like, I don't know. So it's like thinking about it today and reading the recaps, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, like Shiv got him to up his bid. And people were like, this is because Shiv must have heard them when the brothers were talking about tanking the deal. And I was like, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
She literally knew that's, I don't think she was necessarily, like, she didn't know that Kendall and Roman were, like, actually trying to tank the deal intentionally. But she did, like, skew, like, influence Mattson into making, like, securing the deal. But I don't think she, and she is doesn't care that they obviously are bummed out and, like, you know, they're kind of forced into it. But I don't necessarily think she was, like, I saw people saying that it was an intentional betrayal. And, like, obviously she's mad at them for overstepping in the previous episode. But I just don't know. I just feel like there's so many things in the dark about, like, what is actually going through people's heads.
Well, and I do think that she did those things, just like you said. But I also I'm worried for our girl, because it does seem like she's getting a little bit too into the Mattson situation. And I'm like, oh no, is he like super manipulating her and she's falling for it? And it also, like, in the preview for the next week, I'm like, they're not going to get romantically involved, are they? I don't know.
I never know with Shiv.
I hadn't even thought about this because there was so much going on last night. And the story, I thought the story of Mattson sending the bricks of blood was hilarious and so crazy that I didn't even really think about the fact that he could just be pulling that out of thin air and, like, manipulating her and just making it up completely to, like, see if she'll leak it and look like the,
like,
bad one.
Like, to test her.
Yeah.
Or just, like, testing, like, what's a crazy thing I could say to this woman and how is she going to react?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, yeah. even just saying this story, even if it's a lie that you made up about, like, basically sexually harassing your employee in a really gross, scary way, like, are you just testing her to see how cool she is? You're like, it's, I don't know. Like,
so much.
Show us
the
blood bricks.
I want to see them.
Is this true? So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like people, yeah, the viewers, like, are so convinced that they know the ins and outs of the show so well. And, like,
yeah,
the writers leave us in the dark intentionally all the time. Yeah. And then, like, we have to wait to find out the truth. It happens all the time.
Yeah. So I'm just going to be patient.
I'm really glad that you said that, because, yeah, I felt people's reactions were, I was, like, kind of already confused because, like you're saying, like, it's always really businessy with Mattson too, which always leaves me a little confused about shares and blah, blah, blah. And then people's reactions, I was even more kind of confused. But.
Well, and so we're officially halfway through the season, and I just think the idea that there's a deal and the deal's going to go through is a pipe dream and not even going to happen. So, like, I'm also just like, okay, so this is just one step towards something else. But so I don't even need to really worry about it.
Yeah, there's still 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, and this show, yeah, like, everything can change in one episode, clearly. episode to episode, things are different.
Personally, I'm really excited for the next week's episode because Kendall gets into event planner mode, and I love Kendall when he's in event planner mode.
Also, is he gonna like put on a one man show? It was like, is he booking a theater to do a performance? What is going on?
I think it's gonna be a mix of the Too Much Birthday episode and the Janitors from Idaho episode. So I can't wait because those are two of my favorite episodes.
Oh my gosh. Maybe he'll finally get to perform his Billy Joel song. One moment too that I thought was like, Connor trying to plan the funeral, like on his own, like fighting Marsha for things. I was like, that is such, because like literally he died 2 days ago. So it's like, I don't know. It's just like, oh yeah, Connor, just go do this. But it's like, that is just so real that like, I mean, that's like a sucky job to drop on someone to like plan the funeral. And he's like, promise you guys won't hate me if however it turns out. And it's like, just like so many high stress situations.
I think it's because he went to Mo Lester's funeral, but I'm like, oh, Connor's a pro at funerals.
he's a funeral expert. Oh my gosh. I don't know what happened, but on this rewatch, I was just like obsessed with Connor, and it's just continued into this season. Connor is just like really the most intriguing character. I just have the most questions about him. And you know who I have zero questions about and I wish would just leave forever is Greg.
I think it's the one flaw of the show. What are they doing with him? Every time he was on screen, I was like ready for him to be done. Like I didn't even feel like he was like doing that good of a job at like acting. And I don't know. I don't think it's this, but like there have been like some discussions about his relationships with women off camera. Not Greg, but
allegations.
Yes.
Unofficial allegations.
Yeah. But
it's tainted for sure.
Tainted for sure. And I just like I think it's interesting and funny for like a character to like try to play to all sides, but like he's not even doing a good job at that. Like what has he actually done that was like a smart move other than save those papers that one time? Not much.
Nothing. Because other than that,
he doesn't really even have any hireable skills.
No, the only time we've seen him do like a job related duty that wasn't like sneaky like that was firing Carrie, and he barely did that.
Yeah, he always complains.
It's almost like, because it's kind of like, why was he even invited to freaking Norway?
I was confused. Yeah,
it makes no sense. I guess it's kind of like, it was kind of a good opportunity because it actually kind of backfired and made the company looks stupid that they brought this random nephew along. Cause like, and then like all the Swedes like laughed at them, which was funny.
Did you see the TikTok I sent you?
No.
Someone who speaks Swedish, like,
yes.
Said everything that they said. And they basically were saying like, they're all, it's a bunch of family and they're all inbred or something. It was really funny.
I did think I heard a word that sounded like incest, but it was like Swedish. So I was like, Swedish? Greg has become painful. It's almost like the way that now Baby Yoda feels cheesy in Mandalorian and is over, maybe has been overused. Grogu Hirsch.
Grogu.
Din Grogu. Well, I do something else, like, with all the internet chatter about Nicholas Braun being gross, it is funny that, like, do the writers hate him? Because he has not come off good in a single episode. And they made all those things about how he's a disgusting brother, he is nasty with girls, blah, 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 blah.
He made it sound like he was only interested in going to Norway for the women.
Uh-huh. Like, they've like kind of changed his character this season, and it's like, is it because they hate him? Because they're doing a good job. He's like, he doesn't have any redeeming qualities as a character.
Yeah, I miss him being innocent.
Yeah.
I miss him having a soul. He said, who needs a soul? He does.
Now look at him. Yeah.
Crush of the week. Who's yours?
I'm going to give my crush of the week to Jack Black in The Mandalorian.
Oh, he looked cute.
I love Jack Black so much. He does look cute. He just radiates joy. Like, I think it was as happy as I was with the surprise, which we're spoiled before I saw the episode, that Jack Black and Lizzo were going to be in The Mandalorian at all, which is like really fun. But it was also kind of random. Like watching the episode, I was like, this is weird, actually.
It was so distracting. I wish they would have been like in it, but like as a creature. But they looked so much like themselves that I was really confused.
Yeah, I felt kind of weird about it in the plot. But that being said, like, there's just something about Jack Black's presence that is really fun and happy. And so, like, yeah, him as a person, love him. And yeah, I feel like he's, like, I don't know if his hair is like, hair is gray, but he definitely has a gray beard and it just like looks oddly great on him.
Yeah.
I love Jack Black.
I agree. He looked great. I feel like really I can't think of anyone, so I have to, I'm kind of in a TikTok black hole of fan cam videos basically of Alexander Skarsgård taking his jacket off in that Succession episode, because his shirt like kind of comes up a little bit, and
it was shocking because it's like,
it was shocking,
people who don't have bodies like that in this show.
No, and it was very hot. So even though I'm confused by every word that he says, and he is weird, and I don't want a brick of his blood, I'll give my crush of the week to him. Sure.
That's fair. I was actually trying to figure out how to word a tweet today that I think I'm gonna give up on. But because, like, the internet is going crazy for him.
Yeah.
And I just, like, don't feel it. And I was like, I'm immune to him because he's, like, 7 feet tall and I only like short kings. So I don't care about Alexander Skarsgård.
I feel like there's your tweet right there.
Oh, I should have been. I'll have to re-listen to this recording. And
I was going to say, good thing we're recording. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.